We're celebrating Blessed Miguel Agustin Pro today, one of my favorites, pretty recent on the list of the blessed. He was martyred in, I believe it was 1927. I could have that wrong, but I think it's 1927, in Mexico. And he was Mexican-born. Joined the Jesuit order whenever he was at the age of 20. And almost immediately after affiliating with the Jesuits, there was a secularist crackdown on the church. This had really been ongoing since the presidency of Benito Juarez in the 1800s, in the mid to late 1800s. Juarez was the first native Mexican who was of Native American ancestry. That is, prior to that, almost all were at least primarily of Spaniard descent. And he was being from a very poor family and all of that. He saw that there was very much this social stratification. And oftentimes the church was in the midst of this, right? The church was often allied with the gentrified peoples and all of that, and the primarily more European, you know, Castilian, Spaniard kind of persuasion of Mexican. And at least that was the popular impression anyway. Certainly, I'm sure there was some of that, but much of that was trumped up, especially by Juarez. He was no friend of the church. And so he really kind of set in motion a lot of anti-clerical and anti-ecclesial laws and policies that intensified to the point that when in 1911, Pro had joined the Jesuits, he almost immediately had to go into hiding. And he did much of his formation actually across the border in the United States in California. He finished his theological studies, though, in Belgium, because things even got kind of spilled over there, and things were really pretty nasty for the church and for those who were clergy or studying to be clergy. He was ordained to the priesthood while in Belgium, and fairly soon thereafter, after doing some ministry there in Belgium, came back to Mexico, and by that time, this is in the 20s, the late mid-20s, he was basically had to perform all of his priestly duties in secret. The churches were effectively shut down, and already, you know, many were being jailed, or even worse, amongst the clergy and the laity for the public display of their faith. Mexico, a thoroughly Catholic country, right, or so you'd think. Not really long after he began this clandestine ministry, he was known as a witty and very intelligent guy, and he came up with all kinds of witty ways in which to get around. He was a kind of a master of disguise, as it were, kind of doing the Pink Panther thing, although probably a little better at it than the Pink Panther. Getting around in all kinds of outfits and costumes and slipping into places. Dressing variously as, you know, a doctor or a janitor or this or that or the other thing, just to get into houses and be able to administer the sacraments to people and celebrating secret masses and all of that. Eventually, he was apprehended and was slapped with a false accusation of being involved in an assassination attempt on the former president. Of course, which was ridiculous, but it was just something to be able to put him on public trial and execute him, which they did. But they held him for a year without any trial, without any formalities at all, and then was subsequently found guilty and subjected to the firing squad. You know, the gospel today, you know, speaks very fittingly about this, you know, that that there will be those who drag you before the magistrates and all of that, and you'll be put on trial. and some of you will even be put to death, right? You'll be hated because of my name, but not a hair on your head will be destroyed. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives. This is the kind of thing that he had faith in. And Jesus also gives that assurance. Do not prepare your defense beforehand, for I myself shall give you a wisdom in speaking, that all your adversaries will be powerless to resist or refute. Whenever they lined him up to shoot him, there was a photographer there. They thought, you know, because there was a growing armed resistance, the Cristeros were revolting against this government, this anti-clerical government, anti-church government. And so they were wanting to shut this down. So they actually commissioned a photographer to chronicle his execution. And so there are extant photos of his execution. Didn't exactly have the result that they desired. It actually blew the thing up in their faces. It really emboldened the rebels to fight even harder. His words were very spare, very few, but very powerful. The first thing he did was forgive them of what they were about to do. He refused a blindfold. He wanted to look them in the eye whenever they shot him. He wanted some time to pray. That was his last request that they granted, and so there are pictures of him kneeling there in prayer near the wall where he would be shot. And then holding a crucifix in one hand and a rosary in the other, kind of surprised they let him do that, he held out his arms in a cruciform way, and he said, first of all, he blessed them, and then he said, long live Christ the King, which was, of course, the battle cry, really, of the Cristeros, and they shot him. They didn't do a very good job, though, because he was still alive. And so the final picture in the sequence is a soldier standing right up over the top of him with the barrel of his gun pressed against his forehead. Well, actually, that was the second-to-last picture. The last picture was after he had pulled the trigger. They actually published that in the newspaper. But, as I said, didn't have the effect that they thought it would have. The deacon and I were kind of conversing in the sacristy before Mass, and talking about our mutual respect and love for Miguel Pro, and I say, and I think people jest. I think I jest sometimes, but my desire is to anger someone from the pulpit just enough that they murder me at the altar. And I'm only half kidding. Because, as I told Vince, I fear my own sin more than I fear dying. I fear my own sin more than I fear dying, especially for the faith. Maybe I'm weird that way. But I think that, really, if we are to take our faith seriously, we all ought to really ask the Lord for that kind of an attitude. And then whether he asks that gift of us or not, the gift of red martyrdom, that's not really up to us. But that we would have that desire to die rather than to displease him, to die rather than to deny him. I think that that could be maybe the greatest of heavenly gifts. So let's, pray for that. And again, who knows? I mean, if I were put up against it, I would probably be knocking my knees together and who knows what else. But, I guess maybe I'm a romantic. But at any rate, I think that's a gift that we really, really should beg for, that kind of faith that is exemplified to us in the martyrs and in Blessed Miguel Pro, and the faith that the Lord desires to give to us, as he just told us, this faith that he desires to give to us. Because what is the result of that then? If we embrace that grace, if we are called to embrace that grace, then what is the reward? Well, we stand amongst those holding God's harps and singing the song of Moses in praising the Lamb.